beloved listeners, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast, brought to you by the publication arm of Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International Komi. Our vision is to empower individuals to reach full spiritual completeness in God through the insightful teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Grace Life Komi Podcast offers every believer a continuous stream of fresh, simple, yet deeply impactful teaching episodes that engender the revelation light of Christ Jesus. Our objective is to motivate and uplift individuals through the provision of enlightening content that facilitates a profound exploration of faith. Grace Life Komi Podcast is dedicated to fostering a beneficial impact on the lives of our audience, aiming to positively transform their spiritual journey and enhance their connection with faith. Chimdi and Funke Ohuna delivers teachings that aim to illuminate the profound truth and significance of the person and the work of Christ, providing essential guidance and instruction for nurturing and developing believers in their relationship with Christ. We urge you to remain connected to the Grace Life Komi Podcast and engage with us, a platform where believers can immerse themselves in teachings, cultivate knowledge, and form connections with like-minded seekers of Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to thank God for this privilege again the Lord has given unto us this month of April to go into the study of the book of John. And we began with Philip's translation for verse 8, and the journey has been awesome. And now we are at the ABUV version, which says to testify of that light. And we've had a good foundation in the last session. We're going to proceed in this session. To begin, let's have a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we bless and appreciate you. We thank you for another time of fellowship in your presence.
Yes, Lord.
We give you praise and glory in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, as we study your word, we ask that you teach us.
Yes, Lord.
Grant us understanding that we may live to your glory and praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Dear to Jesus.
Amen.
All right. John chapter 1, verse 8, King James, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. We've used quite a number of translations thus far on this particular verse of scripture. Like we learned, we are on the ABUV translation. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
And it said to testify of the light. We looked at the word testify, what it means, and we have been looking at the different meanings of testify. And I'm breaking it down to understand this particular verse properly. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
One of the emphases that we have had thus far in this study has been, you know, a personal revelation of Jesus to John the Baptist by the Father God. Now, Peter experienced such a revelation when he said, when Jesus said, "Who do men say I am?" And then Peter, some said you are a prophet, some said you are Elias. Then he asked, "Who do you then say I am?" And he said, "You are Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Now this makes us understand basically that God wants each and every one of us to have personal revelations of him. And that revelation can only come by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Father God can only reveal himself to us personally by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Go through John the Beloved said in 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. He said, "The things that I have seen, our eyes have looked upon, our hands have handled the word of truth." So basically, it began with Peter giving that personal revelation as received from the Father God. But it didn't just end with Peter. John said his own. We have looked upon him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everybody had a personal revelation of the Father God, of who Jesus is by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's very important we have this one-on-one understanding of who the Father God is, of who Jesus is. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, we thank God for the place of teachers. We cannot, the Father God was talking to the children of Israel and said, "The teachers shall no longer be moved to a corner any longer." We thank God for the place of teachers. The teachers just actually point to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. Amen to Jesus. Amen. And we thank God for the place of our fathers, our prophets, our teachers, our mentors. They do a great work. You know, on Saturday, I began to explain something to somebody as the Holy Spirit led me. And I began to, the Holy Spirit began to make us understand that when God called Samuel, he heard the voice of Eli, his pastor, his prophet, his spiritual father. First time God called him, he heard the voice of Eli. Makes us understand that at the early stage of our walk with God, we hear God in the voice of our fathers, our teachers, our pastors, our spiritual leaders. Are you getting what I'm saying? As I go to the train of prayer, your teacher shall no longer be removed to a corner. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We hear the voice of God through their voice. You know, the first time God called him, he heard the voice of Eli. Second time God called me, he heard the voice of Eli. He went to meet Eli. Eli said, I didn't call you. Are you getting what I'm saying? And was he having a mistake? No, it wasn't having a mistake. Because God, where you are still at your early stage of your work with God, as you are still growing, God will put you under a prophet, under a pastor, so you can hear him through that person. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So as to prevent confusion. The Bible says there are many voices. Now, if God does not put you under one teacher, you see, that's why I have a problem with people who they are just born again and they are just diversifying their audience. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little dangerous. Are you getting me? You have to grow under one teacher. You have to hear God from the voice of one teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The prophet Samuel experienced that, you know. And the first time, the second time, the third time, it wasn't wrong for hearing Eli. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
And God did not query him for hearing Eli. If it were to be a wrong thing, God would have stopped speaking after he went to meet Eli the first time. God would have stopped calling him after he met Eli the first time. Are you getting what I'm saying? But God did not stop calling him. God called the first time he heard Eli. God did not query him. Second time he heard Eli, God did not query him. Third time he heard Eli, God did not query him. But now, by the third time, when Eli came, Bible says, when he came to meet Eli, Bible says Eli perceived that the Lord was speaking, was calling him. Are you getting what I'm saying? And he understood the operations of God, that when you are still growing in your walk with the Lord, God will call you and you will hear his voice in the voice of the teacher he has placed over you, the prophet he has placed over you, the pastor he has placed over you. Are you getting what I'm saying? But now, what did Eli say? Eli told him, when you hear the voice again, say, Lord, speak, for thy servant hear it. What did Eli understand? Eli understood that this boy had moved from the level of hearing God only through him to hearing God for himself.
Yeah.
But that did not change the fact that Eli was still his priest. It didn't change the fact that Eli was still his prophet. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when he went, you see, the place of a good prophet is, the place of a good teacher, the place of a good pastor is that they point you to Jesus and grow you to be able to hear Jesus for yourself. Now, so if your pastor is not growing you to be able to hear Jesus for yourself, to hear God for yourself, it's a dangerous walk you are walking. 1 year in your walk with the Lord, 2 years, 3 years, the pastor has been beside you, has conferred you, and then he's not seeing the need to grow you to the point where you can hear God for yourself. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a dangerous one. Even as a pastor, it's not good for you.
Yes.
It's not good for you because the boy prophet Samuel, are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Became the voice that God used to speak to who? To the senior prophet, Eli. Are we together?
Mm.
Amen to Jesus.
Mm.
And so he sent him back and then he heard and he spoke. He heard and he spoke. Praise the Lord forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to you. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
And so, as we walk with the Lord, even as teachers of the Lord, of the Word of God, as pastors, as mentors, as the Bible says, the fivefold ministry we are given for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry.
Mm.
What we are meant to do is to ensure that we equip them so they can do the work.
Yes.
So they can hear God for themselves. You know, I have a pastor. Yeah, he has been, even at, from distance, I've always kept in touch with him, as God will help me. Whenever I bring an issue to him, he keeps quiet. Because he knows that I'm a man of God and I hear God for myself. So he keeps quiet and he tells me, let's see what God is saying. By the time I come back and I say, the Lord, he said, good, very good. Because you should grow people to a level where they can hear Jesus for themselves, where Jesus can be revealed to themselves. It doesn't change the fact that you are still there. Pastor, their prophet, yeah. And you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it even makes you a better prophet and pastor when you can take them to, when you can point them to Jesus directly. For example, my parents have been out of my, I've not seen my parents physically for about 10 years now. You get what I'm saying? That doesn't mean they're no longer my parents. Does that mean they're no longer my parents?
No.
They're still my parents. My parents did not tell me, Chimbi, do this, do that, do this. They know that by the grace of God, this young man knows how to hear God for himself and God leads him. They are pastors, but they don't tell me, do this, do that, do this. But at the end of the day, does that change them from being my parents? No. It doesn't stop you from being their pastor, their teacher, when you point them to Jesus for them to hear Jesus for themselves.
Mm.
It actually helps you to become a better pastor, a better prophet, a better teacher, a better man of God. One of the problems we have in the church today is the ownership mentality. Mm. People want to own people. And no man can own anybody. We are all caretakers and caregivers. God is the owner of the people.
Yes.
So we point them to their owner.
Mm.
Let them talk with their owner. And it will even allow us to have peace of mind. Mm. We'll not experience burnout. We'll not experience, you know, frustration in our, you know, in our quest to, you know, grow these people for the Lord Jesus. So basically, a personal conviction of Jesus because is paramount in these times we live in. Especially in these times where there are many voices, in these times where there are false teachers. You know, Peter was warning us. He said, "The prophet, false prophet have come in your time." I think it was John, sorry. And he said, "The false teachers are also about to come too."
Yeah.
He said, we've been complaining about false prophets and we think that they are the problem. False prophets are not the problem. It's very easy to detect false prophets. How do you, the Bible made us understand that from the Old Testament? How do you know when a prophet has spoken of the Lord? When what he speaks comes to pass, he has spoken of the Lord. See, the acid test is the easiest to do.
Manifestation.
He didn't speak, okay, let's watch it. If he said 3 days, in 3 days, they are not happening. Okay, it's a false prophet. Simple. Very easy to detect a false prophet. But a false teacher, the most difficult one.
Mm.
Because a false teacher is already versed in the word of God.
Mm.
And he has entered into the spirit of a reprobate spirit, which is a spirit that would not want to come back to God. And he, because he's versed in the word of God, he can juggle scriptures. And he will use originals for you. He use Greek, use Latin, use Aram, he will juggle it for you. And how do you help such a teacher? It's more difficult to deal with false teachers than to deal with what? False prophets. That is the reason why every person who is mentoring anybody for the Lord, any person who is training people for the Lord Jesus, just point them to the Christ. Let them hear Jesus for themselves. Let them know Jesus for themselves. When false teachers show up, they will know how to handle false teachings without struggle.
Mm.
Some of us see things out there. We hear things out there. But God has helped us. We can be able to handle false teachings without struggles. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
All right, so one of the words for testify is to make a statement based on personal knowledge or belief. Based on what? Personal knowledge or belief. That's the second one looking at now. To make a statement based on personal knowledge or belief, that is to bear witness. So we can see that the knowledge has to be personal. Not an impersonal knowledge, praise God forevermore. We are living in dangerous times, and in these times you can't afford to live your Christian life based on hearsay or an impersonal knowledge you have of God. The knowledge of God must be very, very personal. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, John the Baptist made the statement that Jesus is the light. We saw that in John chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. Now let's go by it again and
John chapter 1,
verse 7 to 8.
The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe.
Hallelujah.
Verse 8 says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
So you see, John the Baptist made the bore witness of the light. He made a statement based on the personal knowledge of what? Life. Based on the personal knowledge of Jesus being what? The light.
Right.
And he got that knowledge from the Father God. We've seen that before. We saw that in John 1 verse 33. We've seen that before. Yeah. You know, so the Father God had revealed that to him. So it was not an impersonal knowledge. It was not knowledge that came from materials. It's good to study. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's good to study. But you see, there comes a point where you leave letters and enter into prayers, the spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
After the letter clear, but the spirit given life, we have to move to a point where our conviction is beyond the letters. It's as a result of what? A personal building over by the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. As a result of the personal incubation of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, he has incubated the word, and the word has produced, praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
And so John the Baptist believed what the Father God told him. And it's one thing for the Father God to have told John the Baptist that this is the Lamb of God, this is the light, this is how you know him. It's another thing for John the Baptist to have believed. You see, another problem is that some Christians, they are easy to believe what they hear people say about Jesus. But it's difficult for them to believe what the Holy Spirit on the inside of them is telling them about Jesus. Yeah. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some Christians, it's easy for them to believe what people tell them, what a preacher says, what the Holy Spirit is saying on the inside. That's why they keep looking for confirmation, prophetic word, and everything. Because the reason why Christians seek confirmation and prophetic direction and everything, because they don't believe the Holy Spirit inside. They believe the Holy Spirit in another man.
Hmm?
But they don't believe the Holy Spirit is inside of them.
Exactly.
And it's a problem. Mm. How can you believe the Holy Spirit in another person, but don't believe the Holy Spirit is in of you? So?
Same Holy Spirit.
Same Holy Spirit.
Same God.
The Bible says that Jesus, he has dealt with everyone the measure of faith.
Mm.
The measure of faith that man of God you are believing had at new birth is the same measure of faith you had at new birth.
Mm.
All he did was to grow the faith. And you have refused to grow your own.
Mm.
And so he's operating on grown faith over the time. He has built his faith. The Bible says, Jude verse 20, building upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. He had built his faith over the time, and you have refused to build yours. So you now believe in the Holy Spirit in it, that is a different Holy Spirit from inside, from the one inside of you.
Or a more powerful.
Or more powerful Holy Spirit. You now believe in the measure of faith he has built, that is a better measure of faith than that you do. But actually, it's the same Holy Spirit, and it's the same measure of faith. He developed fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He built his faith. But you have refused to do yours. And that's where the problem comes in today. The same Jesus that stands at his door in Revelation 3, verse 3, that stands at the door of his heart and knocks. And he has been able to understand the knocks of the Spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He has grown into the understanding of the knock of you today. He said that he can even hear the Holy Spirit in clear, audible voice. Are you getting me? Every of these things, you grow into them. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
He has grown. Understood? It starts as a knocking signal. Everybody starts as a knocking signal. And as you grow in your walk with the Lord, the knocking signal amplifies. It begins to become clearer and clearer and clearer. It's as simple as that. But you as a child of God, you refuse to walk on a knocking signal. You refuse to build fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Pray and build your most holy faith so that you can understand the signals, the knocks of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus on your door, of your heart over the years, and then become better in getting more clarity. And then because you fail to do that, you have to depend on somebody who has done it. And it's not what we are called to do. Are we together?
Yeah.
It's not what we are called to do. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
And so we need to be able to believe in what the Father God is telling us on the inside. Every one of us, every Christian has to be able to believe in what the Father God is telling us. Because I'm telling you, the times we're living in, if you don't believe, if you don't believe in what the Father God is telling you on the inside, if you don't believe, you'll be tossed to and fro. Things are happening. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Things are happening. So you have to hear God and believe what the Lord is saying about Jesus, the Christ, to you. Amen.
Amen.
This knowledge was personal and not what? Public. It was not what?
Public.
This means that it was not a public opinion, but a personal conviction. It was not a public opinion, but it was a what?
Personal conviction.
See, the knowledge of the Bible says, you shall know the truth.
And the truth
that sets you free is a personal
knowledge. Personal truth.
It's a personal truth.
Mm.
It's a personal truth, not a public opinion.
Word of God that has become tangible in your hand.
Exactly. Mm. That has become flesh.
Flesh.
Mm. That's what will set you free.
Mm.
But a public opinion does not have a power to set you free. In fact, the personal conviction of your brother does not even have the power to set you free.
Yes.
The personal conviction of the Lord Jesus will have, that has the power to set you free. And you get what I'm saying?
Mm.
So it's very important that we move from general opinion, public opinion, to personal convictions. We must be personally convinced of who Jesus is to us. Have a very personal conviction that you can live and die for. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
Because the times we live in now, until the conviction becomes personal, you hear a lot of things. The people who have just been swept away by different winds of doctrine. Like I always say, you see, knowledge will progress. knowledge will progress. It will continuously progress. But you see, our personal conviction of Jesus is what will determine whether the progressive knowledge will lead us into progressive fellowship with the Lord Jesus, or whether it will cause us into retrogressive fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And John was speaking, he said, we walk in the light and we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus and with one another. Amen to Jesus. So we walk in the light, we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus, and we have fellowship with one another. Fellowship with one another and fellowship with the Lord Jesus comes as a result of personal convictions. There are people who today they don't fellowship with other brethren. Why? Because for them, the other brethren are this and are that and are that and are this. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you see, every of these things come because of our personal convictions we have not built over the time. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah
to Jesus. Now, if the statement of John the Baptist was not based on the personal knowledge of who Jesus is, as given him by the Father God, when people asked him if he was the Christ, he would not have been able to confidently state that he was not the Christ.
Yes.
I get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need to understand something, that the personal conviction we have of God will determine our confidence in making statements.
Mm.
To determine our confidence in making declarations.
Yeah.
To even determine our confidence in stating who we are. I get what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, a lot of Christians still have a challenge in saying who they are. You know, they don't have the faith to say that I'm a chosen generation, the royal priesthood, the peculiar people, the whole that nation. I will show for the glory of him who has called me out of darkness into the marvel of life. A lot of Christians don't have the faith and the confidence to say I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They don't have the confidence and the faith to say I am blessed. They don't have the confidence and the faith to say I am not cursed and I cannot be cursed.
Yes.
Because Christ was made cursed by hanging on the tree for me. You know, a lot of Christians, they're not very convinced. You know, we read the Bible study and it talked about the curse on the ground, not on the earth, that God gave the curse. God caused the ground, not the earth, for Adam's sake, and then he punished Eve and he also punished Adam. And you know, We began to understand that because Jesus was made cursed, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The punishment for our peace was upon him. The punishment that Adam received was, the first Adam received, was put upon him. And the Bible says, with his stripes, we are what? We are healed. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
The Adam's disobedience brought war between man and God. Between man and God. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. And then Jesus came to take the punishment for that, what do you call it? War, which is called the chastisement of our peace.
Mm.
And so, as a result of that, the punishment that came on Adam has no right to come on us.
Mm.
The punishment that came on Eve had no right to come on us. The punishment on Adam was, on the sweat of thy brow will you eat all the days of your life, and thorns and thistles shall the earth bring forth to you. On Eve, he said, I will multiply your pain in conception, and your desire shall be forever. Those were punishments, but Jesus took those punishments. As a result of the fact that he took those punishments, we are not meant to suffer those punishments again. Yeah, I say, but man has to struggle. No, the born again child of God is not meant to struggle. We are meant to work, but not meant to struggle. We are not meant to eat from the sweat of our brow. That is what we are meant to do. And that, see, when Christians begin to eat from the sweat of their brow, they should check if something is wrong somewhere. Is it that you are beginning to take steps that you're not meant to take? Beginning to do things you're not meant to do, or you are beginning to basically disobey God. When you obey God, you don't eat from the sweat of your face. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
And as a woman, when you obey God, you are not to give birth in multiplied pain and sorrow. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Are we together?
Yes.
And so, but when we said this, it was so difficult for a lot of people to believe. So difficult. And basically, all of it boils down to what? Your personal conviction. I cannot give you your conviction. Are you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
You have to have your own conviction of who Jesus is to you. Are we together?
Yes.
And the conviction of Jesus to you, it encompasses, number one, that he has taken the chastisement of your peace. You have been punished for your peace. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
So you can have peace with God. Yeah, he was made sin that he may be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He was made poor that he may be made rich. He was made cursed that he may be blessed. So, made sin, made poor, made cursed.
Mm.
These three are the major constituents of the curse of the law. Sin, are we together?
Yes.
curse and poverty. Jesus became these three so that we will not become any of these. And once this is understood, this conviction is there, the devil wants to fight it. But you have a responsibility to do what? To stand therefore in the liberty wherein Christ has made you.
You declare with confidence.
That's why you have to have a conviction, personal conviction. We have quoted scriptures, but until these scriptures become personal convictions, there are still letters that will kill you if you are not careful.
Yeah.
There are still letters that will have no effect in your life. So you have to move from script, from letters to what? Conviction. Scriptures have to move from letters to become conviction in your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying?
I remember the situation of Paul when he was meant to be arrayed, you know, before one of the, probably the governors or so.
Yeah.
And you know, the Lord told him to go. I will give you a wisdom, you know, that the enemy cannot gainsay or resist.
Yeah.
He heard this. It's not written anywhere before then.
Mm-hmm.
But he heard it.
Yeah.
And because it was a personal word for him, he was convinced. He was bold enough to go into that assembly,
yeah,
to go and defend his case.
Exactly. Exactly. Not because he was a lawyer.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a lawyer. He knows what law is all about now. You can have all the arguments, but at the end of the day, it's still the judge that determines what he wants.
Exactly.
So it's not because he was a lawyer that it was based on a conviction based on what the Lord had told him.
Yeah.
Also, remember when they were in the ship and the storm became, first he told the captain they should not sail.
Mm.
And the captain would not listen. So he just, it's like maybe because he wants to run away, that's why he said we should not sail. And when they began to sail, what happened? The storm became serious. Mm-hmm. And then he told them, do not be afraid. I had a visitation at night, and I was told by the Lord that there will be no loss of life, only that the ship will be wrecked and properties will be lost. You see, they had to suffer or disobey,
yeah,
divine instruction. But they will know. And he said it confidently because it was a personal
word,
and it was he had the personal conviction to it. And that was actually what happened. They are finally when everything was wrecked, they finally found themselves at the island of Malta. Amen. Because the Lord has said it, and it was a personal conviction. You see, when God speaks to you, it must move from a spoken word of God to becoming what? A personal conviction. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
It must move from being a spoken word of God to become a personal conviction.
Yes.
It's only the personal conviction that you can make flesh. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Spoken word cannot be made flesh. A public opinion cannot be made flesh. Only a spoken word that has been made a personal conviction that can be made flesh. And you see, more often than not, we as Christians are too lazy to move it from a spoken word to a personal conviction.
Exactly.
We are too lazy to move from a spoken word to a personal conviction. Move it, move it, move it.
Because this hearing from God is actually a process.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something you learn over the, you know, as you walk with God.
Yeah.
It's not something you just, it's not imparted.
Exactly.
You know, it's not something you just, it's not gift.
Mm-hmm.
You have to train yourself. You have to
train yourself.
Train your ears. And by training your ears, you are tuning your, just like a radio.
Yeah.
There are lots and lots of frequencies around. Until you tune to the right frequency, then you don't get the particular news you want.
Exactly.
So if it's God really want to hear from you, you must train your ears by tuning it until you are able to stay on that frequency that you know this is. Without doubt, this is Yahweh talking to me.
Exactly.
Exactly. We just have to learn to do this. Exactly. No, nobody will do it for you. Otherwise, you will keep running on impersonal revelation.
Impersonal revelation. Is it not because people don't want to do it? Christians only. That's why we are running on so many impersonal
revelations. Exactly. And like we said, this running on impersonal revelations end up, you know, making Christians confounded.
Yeah, confounded. Highly
because
confounded.
If you cannot be convinced, you cannot be so, you cannot have confidence in the word of God, you will end up being confounded.
Yeah, a lot of Christians are confounded. So confounded, heavily, highly confounded.
Ooh.
And it's dangerous. It's really dangerous. That's why we see what we are seeing in the church today. It's very dangerous. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
So Paul could, John the Baptist could say that he was not, because he was convinced.
Yes.
Are you getting what I'm saying? Mm. You know what the word, what being convinced about who Jesus is does to you, that it makes you know who you are, who you are not.
Mm.
He said, "Are you the Christ?" I say, "I'm not." And who are you? And the voice of one in the wilderness crying, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path." So it makes you know who you are and who you are not.
Yes.
A lot of Christians don't even know who they are, let alone know who they are not. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know who you are, there's a likelihood that you don't know who you are not.
Mm-hmm.
Because for heaven's sake, as a born-again child of God, you are not a sinner.
Yeah.
We see people come and they say, we are all sinners. Born-again children of God, they want to start service and they say, we are all sinners. No, we are not all sinners. You were a sinner before you got saved. You are a saint now. As a saint, it doesn't mean that you will not make mistakes. But it doesn't give you that nature of a sinner. Mm-hmm. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you will not commit sin once in a while, but you are not a habitual sinner. He that is born of God cannot make practice of sin.
The same John that said that if any man says there's no sin in him, is lying.
Yeah.
Paraphrasing. It's the same one that says what you just said now.
Mm-hmm. He that is born of God
cannot make practice.
I want to look at the sequence of that. It was first John. What John was doing there. John was basically speaking to the Gnostics.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gnostics were a special kind of people. We have them now.
Yes, we have very them. Much.
They are very much around. And they don't even know that they are Gnostics.
Well, some of them, I think I met some on Twitter.
Alright.
Yeah, so some of them.
They know they are Gnostics. Alright. And they are different, for me, they are different operations of Gnostics.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a sect called Gnostics.
Yeah.
And there are other sects now that they are all under...
Operating with the same spirit.
The Christocentric, they are all is the same spirit. It's a spirit that feels it has a spirit. The Gnostics means knowledge. They mean they believe that they have a special knowledge that another person has.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Gnostics believed then that, you know, they were born without sin. Are you getting me? They were born without sin. So John began to make them understand that he that says he has no sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. So you cannot say you were born without sin. All have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. And then he further makes them understand that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then he now makes them further understand that he that is now born of God is when you can't say you were born without sin. No, you are only born without sin when you become born of God.
Yes.
So he that is born of God cannot sin, for a seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. King James says cannot sin. The original makes us understand basically that to do it cannot make a practice of sin. So when you are born again, you cannot make a practice of sin. You are not a practitioner sinner. You are a practitioner what? Righteous person. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you see, that's why it's conviction that makes you know who you are and who you are not.
Yes.
Conviction of who Christ is to you makes you know that you are the light of the world. It makes you know that you are not the light of men. Are you getting me?
Yes.
But you are the light of the world as a born again child. It makes you know that you are not cursed. You are what? You are blessed because Christ has redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, so when any curse wants to manifest itself in your life, what do you do? You enforce your conviction.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be cursed. You enforce it. I refuse this coming into my bloodline. You enforce it. Now, you don't say because, okay, and Jesus has done it all. And then you think the devil is going to put his hand. No, remember he tempted Jesus 3 times. He's going to come. He's going to try bringing that family bloodline nonsense into your system. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to stand upon the liberty where Christ has set you free and enforce who you are in Christ. I cannot have this family curse. I cannot have this family bloodline issue. I cannot have this family generational curse. No, I have a new generation, a generation of Christ. You enforce it. As you begin to enforce it, the devil knows that you know who you are.
Yes.
What I'm saying? So that is what conviction does to you. It makes you know who you are and makes you know who you are
not.
Are we together?
Yes.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
I believe every child of God has to stay in this conviction. You need to really get in this conviction well so that you don't take a wrong identity. You don't wear a wrong identity and start sulking because you are wearing a wrong identity. The devil is going to be excited when you wear the wrong identity that he gave you. Whereas not your identity. You get what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, so John the Baptist did this because knowledge of who Jesus is was what gave John the Baptist knowledge of who he is. Same applies to us. The knowledge of who Jesus is what gives us the knowledge of who we are. Together.
Yes.
John said, as it is, so are we. So if we cannot know ourselves until we know Jesus.
Yes, so.
And see, the more we know Jesus, the more we know ourselves.
Hallelujah.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
But this conviction is not a magic one. Many of us are waiting for a magic one that will just be just wave over our head and we'll just know. No. It's growth. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, we keep saying it over and again, as we beheld in the glass, the glory of the Lord will change into the same image from glory to glory. We keep knowing, we keep beholding, we keep knowing, we keep knowing, we keep knowing. And the more we know Jesus, the more we know ourselves. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, Jesus told the devil, get deep behind me. Why? Because he knew himself. So we must know how to tell the devil, get thee behind me. And you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, I watched something, yes, I've watched it before, but I watched it again. I'm sure Ben Sitter also, when he was preaching in the US, a story he gave. You know, I like that story. It's very, very exciting. And the lesson at the end of the story was, when the devil is chasing you, apply your brake.
Hmm.
So what happened was that he bought a Mercedes-Benz, and, you know, in the street where he was living, one of their neighbors recently bought a big German Shepherd dog, 4 feet high. 4 feet high, very big. So he discovered that every day he's driving to church. When he's driving, the dog will start chasing his Mercedes-Benz. Said he will start accelerating. I think the dog was just taking it as sports, you know. But he will start accelerating. When he's going, the same problem. When he's coming back, the same problem. Is that serious? That when they are driving, Mama will wind up the window and pin down the door. He said the dog is outside, though. She said that she can't rush. She wind up the window and press the door knobs down. No, she didn't say the same. Only drive. Accelerate. He said that it kept happening. The harassment continued. He said one day he was coming back. And then they knew they were encountered the dog again. So the dog started chasing them again. So as he was driving, accelerating. So he heard the Lord tell him, Idahosa, apply your brake. He said, as he was speeding, he just applied the brake. Then as he applied the brake, the dog ran and used his head to hit the bumper. And it broke his jaw. Wow. And the dog, it cried and ran away. That was the last time forever that the dog came chasing the
exactly.
He said, when the devil is chasing you, apply your brake.
Mm.
He said, resist the devil. He said, the Lord did not say run from the devil. He said, the Lord did not say run from the devil. He said, the Lord said, resist the devil and we flee. He says, when the devil is chasing you, don't run from him. Resist the devil.
Mm.
Say, when last did you cast out demons? And when he said, I was so thankful to God because Easter Sunday I casted that demon. Because if I child of God, I'm not casting that no demon. See, the devil is chasing large. Apply your brake, grace, not river more.
Hallelujah.
He said, the story was so exciting. It sounded funny and exciting, but it was a take home lesson. Praise God, river more.
Hallelujah.
These convictions are very important because the devil wants to chase us. You see, and it's not the number of Christians that are being chased by devils left, right, and center. They don't know how to apply their brakes. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They know how to apply their brakes. You don't even have, you know, I just thinking of something today. I just said, oh, come on, I have the wisdom of God. Just that answer alone. I told myself, I have the wisdom of God. Just that answer alone is enough answer. The devil was trying to raise the ugly head last week when the devil saw the way that, you know, I applied my brakes. He took his calm. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we need to understand this. And these convictions are very important because the devil is on a wild goose chase. We need to know more of Jesus. It's only on that grounds we will know more of ourselves. Are we together?
Yes.
Until we know who Jesus is, as revealed by the Father God through His Holy Spirit, we cannot know who we are.
Yes.
We cannot know who we are. We are in a world where the devil has hoodwinked a lot of people. Self-discovery, self-acknowledgement, all the self thing is all the devil's idea to remove the focus from Jesus and put it on ourselves. And the Bible says, for ourselves, we are what? we are insufficient. Our sufficiency is of the Lord. We cannot keep trying to know ourselves. We have to keep trying to know Jesus. Are you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
The more I've sought to know Jesus, the more I've known myself. That's just the truth.
So it's longer, if not, you know, impossible. Yeah. Right? If you seek to want to know yourself, it's better and easier to seek Jesus. And in seeking Jesus, you will find it.
Exactly. The Bible says the heart of man is deceitful. I like the first word, deceitful. How can you try to know yourself when you are deceiving yourself?
Exactly.
How can you try to know yourself when you're actually deceiving yourself? You know, a larger percentage of people run on self-deception. Self-deception. No, no. What is the social media? It's self-deception. What is the what do you call it? The technology word. It's self-deception. Today we run on a self-deceptive world, and people don't. You see, people, they sit down and they have some kind of designed stuff that make you feel you're in an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's there. And they snap the picture and say the guy is in the private jet, only for you to wake up and go out. I mean, it's
all props.
They're all props. We have people
there. Photography.
Photography.
Some photo
Photoshops. You know, I see somebody. I saw one. The guy was in living in an uncompleted building environment, and the sand is just he was actually a mason, and he laid down on sharp sand, white sharp sand, sea sharp sand that he gathered to build the uncompleted building. He laid down on it and snapped himself, and it was on a beach, looking good. No,
you know, there's a story of you know, some people that also they go out of their houses to just, you know, maybe just go and rent 1 or 2 hours in a hotel.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they make it look like that's their normal bed.
Yeah,
they're all fake. They're all deceit.
The heart of man is deceitful.
Deceit yourself and deceive those who want to be taken by the kind of lifestyle you're living.
Exactly. So it's crazy now for you to try to know yourself. Don't try it. Try to keep desiring to know more of Jesus. You see, I read a lot of books, self-help books. Are you getting what I'm saying? A few of them, let me not say, but a few of them, and actual fact was that it brought me to the point of more confusion. But the more I kept desiring to know more of Jesus, I discovered I just kept knowing myself. I just kept knowing myself. I'm not against those self-help books. You can read them, but please just seek to know Jesus more. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
It will help you. It will help you know yourself. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. So until we know who Jesus is as revealed by the Father God through the Holy Spirit, we cannot know who we are. Also, the extent to which we know who Jesus is the extent to which we know who we are. We've seen 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. I've quoted it in the course of this study, so I don't think we need to go back there again. Amen to Jesus.
Yeah.
A witness cannot stand to speak using the encounter or experience of another. Else he or she is not a witness, but a story or folk tale teller. Is that not so?
Yeah.
You know, children, we used to have folk tales, tales by moonlight. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All those things are just, they are stories. They aren't real. They're not real. Are you getting what I'm saying? And some of them were transgenerational.
Yeah.
They told us why tortoise has a broken back.
Mm.
And from one generation to the other, they just kept telling us without no witness to those stories. Are you getting what I'm saying? A witness, and most of the folk tale tellers are storytellers. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A witness cannot be talking. Most of the folk tale tellers and storytellers, they don't have a personal experience, a personal,
fiction.
They are all fiction.
Imaginations of
the mind. And you see, you can't run your life on fiction.
Mm.
I remember there was one book that used to rain then. What was it? I forgot to. A lot of young chaps used to read it. News and Book. Was it News and Book? They used to read, you see, young chaps there, they will soak. The devil has always used fiction to run the life. The love stories on fiction love stories, a lot of young girls were reading it in and having a fantasy of the kind of guy they want to have. Many of them hit the rock over and again because these fictions can never become reality. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Life is not fiction. That's why when you watch a movie, don't try to do that. And they tell you, don't try to do that too, because they are all fictions. I get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Life is not fiction. A witness is not somebody who is giving a fiction. Are you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a novelist. Are you getting me?
Yes.
A witness is somebody who is giving something based on an encounter. Are we together?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus endued his disciples with power to be witnesses for him, not storytellers.
Yes.
Are we together? Mm-hmm. Not storytellers. Acts chapter 1 verse 8.
Acts 1 8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Did he say you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come, you shall be storytellers?
No.
You see, what do we have in the church today? A large number of what? Storytellers. We are not empowered to be storytellers. No. We are not empowered to say folk tales. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
We are not empowered for fictions. You know? It has become serious that we have turned the Bible to movie now. Now people, we have to bring some kind of devices to church to do illustrative teaching. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting me?
Yeah.
We don't need the disciples. Jesus, Peter did not do illustrative teaching. He did practical. Silver and gold I have not. Such as I have, I give unto you. A witness is not a storyteller. He has been empowered to have practical reality.
Yes.
Practical reality. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
And this was the basis on which John the Beloved stated in 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. Look what he said in 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. Let's look at it again. And I always hold on to this.
1 John 1 verse 1. That which was from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
which we have heard,
mm-hmm.
which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life.
Beautiful. We can see that John stated his personal belief of who Jesus is. And this made him what? A witness of Jesus, full of power, to death. Hang it up there.
Yes.
He was full of power. When we are witnesses, when we have a personal conviction, you see, it's power that gives us personal conviction.
Yes.
And when power gives us personal conviction, we witness with power.
Mm.
When we say witness with power, most of the time we think that you just have to do one sign or whatever. You see, witnessing with power is the ability to even die for the gospel.
Mm.
Witnessing with power. I've decided to follow Jesus. We know the history behind that statement.
Mm.
The Indian man, who they killed his son in his front, killed his daughter in his front, killed his wife in his front, just for him to renounce Jesus, and he said, no, I've decided to follow Jesus, not turning back. That's power. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
The Bible speaking, he said, these matters, they were matters for the Lord Jesus. They died for the Lord Jesus. Perpetua was matters for the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's power. You get what I'm saying? It's not only to open blind eyes, those are good, that's part of power too. But the ability to stand Christ Jesus is power. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's power. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. So John the Beloved, remember that we learned that John the Beloved was put in a boiling pot of oil. Are we together?
Yes.
They were boiling and frying him. He wouldn't boil and fry. And he wouldn't die. So they had to take him and excommunicate him to the island of Patmos. Too much power. Are you getting me? Too much power. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
And this was as a result of what? Personal conviction. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
It is important we note that knowledge births what? Belief. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Knowledge births belief. Knowledge best believe.
Romans 10 and verse 17. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
So knowledge best what? Believe. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are we together?
Yes.
So the more we hear the word of God, we receive knowledge about Jesus. Are we together? And that makes us have what? Our belief system rooted in Jesus. And this knowledge comes from scripture. Are we together?
Yes.
Sit with the word of God and seek to find Jesus in scripture. Let Jesus reveal to you from the pages of what? Of scriptures. Just like John the Baptist, we can only be witnesses of Jesus when we have personal knowledge of him derived from the pages of what? Of scripture. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. This is another great session in the study of this same verse. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 is really exhaustive. And I think
John chapter 1 verse 8.
Yeah, John 1, 8. Do we still have some other translations to look into?
No, this is the last translation.
Yes. So that means this year we are going to verse 9.
We trust God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, please, let's just keep listening. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing.
Yeah.
keep listening until these words we are saying and the Lord is speaking through us here becomes flesh. For the essence of going through this study in bits and pits like this is so that they can be easily assimilated, just like the body. If you don't chew well, if you don't break down your food properly, it also affects the digestion of the food. You know, these things are the same in the spiritual. If you don't get it broken properly, then it also affects the level at which it is being digested and assimilated by the believer. Praise God. So this special session in the study of the book of John is something that every believer should go in. So as you listen to it, to also call in friends, you know, introduce to other believers so that we will have more people in the body of Christ who have conviction about who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
Not just head knowledge or, you know, gathered information about who Jesus is. Not what somebody said. We all need to become confident, you know, in this. And this comes with having, a personal knowledge of him. So I trust God that these words we have heard, we really find written in us and help us to bear much fruit for the Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. So in conclusion, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this session again, and the study of your word. We ask, O Lord, that you help us to tune our ears to hear you clearly in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Even as we study your word, as we hear your word, Lord, open our ears to hear you clearly and precisely in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We don't want to be shaky Christians. We don't want to be fluid Christians. We want to be Christians that are bold and confident in your word. Help us, O Lord, in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you for your time. God bless you, Richie.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this teaching. We believe you've been blessed listening to this teaching from God's word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Kindly send it to us via email, chimdeoahunaministry@gmail.com. I would love to request, if you have not made the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, why not make it a date? Why not make this prayer today? Answer this call of salvation and repeat after me. Dear Abba Father, I know and accept that I am a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for me. I confess my sins to you and denounce sin and the devil. With my heart, I believe in and receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. With my mouth, I confess the Lordship of Jesus over my life. Thank you, Abba Father, for making me your child and for making me a new creation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you want to give your love seed of any amount to Grace Life Komi Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 0331545512013 with SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. And to give in CDs, you can still send via Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 0332545512017. And to give in Naira, you can send through Ecobank Nigeria, account number 554-102-0592. For further inquiries and mobile money payments, or even sending us a WhatsApp, kindly use the number +233-54-594-7132. God bless you. Jesus is Lord.